6 o'clock. And we are on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We will start again the Gemara of Amar Rav Asi, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines before the end of the narrow lines on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Asi, Tzaras Islandus Asura. The Tzara of an Islandus is Asur. Again, Reuven married two wives. One of them he knew was an Islandus. He didn't care. He wanted to marry her, even though he knew that she did not have the whole physical ability, body part-wise, meaning she was missing, she's an islandess, not an akara, very important to differentiate. An akara is a woman that has everything going for her, except Hashem didn't give her children, for whatever reason, she can't conceive. An islandess is a woman that it's impossible for her to conceive, because there's simanim in her body that she is not a regular woman with an ability to conceive. There's the Gemara in Yevamos later has all kinds of simanim that show us that a woman is an islandess. The word islandess itself comes from a male ram, the male, I think it's called a hart, which means it's basically she is more masculine than she is feminine. In the sense, therefore she cannot conceive. She's lacking the feminine parts of her body that she'd be able to conceive. So an islandess, he married her, he knew she was an islandess, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, he dies and he has no children. We learn now from a pasuk that she's not eligible for Yibum, because the mitzvah of Yibum is only with a woman that's not missing parts of her body, meaning that is able to conceive, she can be 92 as we spoke about yesterday, that there would be a mitzvah of Yibum. But if something is missing, then there's no mitzvah of Yibum. And no mitzvah of Chalitza. How about her tzara? So Rav Asi saying that since she is an islandess, she becomes an eishes ach without a mitzvah, and her tzara becomes a tzara of an eishes ach, an erva. And therefore her tzara becomes prohibited to Yibum as well. Amar Rav Asi, Tzaras Islandus Asura, she is Asur, right? Because Shinemar. So there's no Chalitz either. Shinemar. V'hoi ha'pchor asher teleit. Now again, if you read Parshat Shat in the Pasuk, it doesn't seem to be talking about the woman's capability. It seems to be talking about the child born from Yibum. But the Gemara later on will darshan this Pasuk has zero to do with the child. V'hoi ha'pchor tells us that the mitzvah is on the oldest son. And Asher Taylor tells me that the woman has to be capable physically, not missing parts, to be able to give birth. That's what we did yesterday, but we didn't do the Rashi. Taras Islandus. Hashahaya Nasri Beis Nashim. He was married to two wives. Ve'echad Islandus. And one is an Islandus. And Rashi explains the word Islandus. Islandus is Duchrinisa. It is male. Delo Yolda. That cannot give birth. Loshin Ayol Zachar Min Hatzayin. An Ayo Zachem and Hatzain, meaning a ram, I think it means a ram, I don't know how Archko translates it, of the sheep. Basically, it's a male, more than female, so to speak. Umbeis Beloivanim, Shteyem Asuris Lisyabim, they're both Asir Tavibim, Upturis Menachalitza, Shanema Behoyab Kharasha Taylet, Beruya Leylet, she has to have the ability to conceive. Prat la'ilanis, v'kibin de p'tura, and since she's pater, kaimelav eishes ach, she becomes an erva. It's an eishes ach without the mitzvah of Yibum. V'tarasa tzaris erva. Zaktuashi, v'av agav, d'haya v'hoya b'chor ashetelet, that pasik, mitukim v'mechotin l'kaman. Later on in the Gemara will be set up, v'godlu achim, v'hoya b'chor is to tell me that the oldest brother should do Yibum. This is the source that it's a mitzvah for the gadol to do yibum, right? The word asher teleid is extra. Could have just said v'hayabchar should do yibum, right? V'hayabchar yakum hashem achav hames. What's asher teleid? To tell me prat la'ilanis the koy yiseru kibin d'abchar b'yavam gufam mishtoi. The b'chor is talking about the yavam. So asher teleid is not necessary to tell me that Yibum should only be done with a woman that's, I don't like the right word to express myself. I like to say physically able to have children, but a 92-year-old lady also is not physically able to have children. But that's because of age, not because of her body structure. Zakti Gemara Vayter. Masiv Rav Sheshes. Now, in order to understand this Gemara, next Gemara, I have to give a short introduction. Biblically speaking, we've been talking about the first 10 Blat Yevamos. Biblically speaking, a person who dies without children, his brother does Yibum or Chalitza. Came along the Rabbanon and instituted rabbinic kedushin and rabbinic divorce prior to Yibum or Chalitza. They said that if a person wants to establish that he will do Yibum, he can, before he does Yibum, he can do something called a mimer, which is really kedushin, which is really kedushin. He can give her money, like a ring or a shtar. And what that does, it rabbinically sets him up as the potential Yavam, and it basically is saying, I plan to do Yibum. I plan to do Yibum. It has no biblical consequence, at least the way we're learning now. Zero biblical consequence. It's a rabbinic way of establishing a relationship prior to doing Yibum. So he does a mimer. It's called mimer. It's a rabbinic word for kedushin, but there's no kedushin, so we call it a mimer. And then he is in line that no other brother should intervene anymore because he has established himself as the one that's going to do Yibum. And again, at this point, should be doing Yibum. He can give a get to his mimer, or he can give a get without a mimer. And a get is a way of saying their Yibum is not going to be done here. If one of the brothers gives a get, it says no more Yibum allowed rabbinically. The divorce has no biblical implication. She needs chalitza. But by giving a get, either before or after the mimer, what he does is, he is saying, this woman is going to get chalitza, and rabbinically speaking, no brother can do Yibum. So if one brother wants to make sure no brother does Yibum, he goes ahead and gives her a get quickly, and by giving her a get, he disqualifies her for Yibum. This is a rabbinic takana that we will talk about later on, called Mimer and Get, which is no biblical application at all. This woman biblically does not need Kedushin, and Kedushin makes no difference. The Torah wants him to consummate a relationship with her, that is Yibum, or to give Chalitza and no get is necessary. The Rabbanan instituted that a person can designate himself as the Miyabim by doing Mimer, and he can designate no Yibum by giving a get. So that's the fact that we have to know for the next Gemara. Zakti Gemara. Masir Rav Sheshes. The Mishnah says, Shloisha Achim, Nesuim Shalosh Nachrius. Three brothers married to three women who are not related to them, to each other. Right? So Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are married to three women, no relationship between the women except that they married brothers. Umeis Echamem, and one of them died, Reuven died. Va'asav Asheni Maimer, and Shimon weighed a rabbinic kedushin, which said that he is rabbinically now bound to her more than any other brother. Again, biblically, it has no impact. But rabbinically, he has now set himself up as the future Miyabim. He has created a rabbinic bond between him and that Yavama. And then Umeis, and then he died. So now this lady was Reuven's wife. Biblically speaking, had no connection to Shimon, except she was bound to him like she's bound to Levi. But then Shimon went and made a mimer. So what mimer did is, it put him in position. It put him to position that he is the designated Yavam. He has not done Yibum yet. Then Shimon dies, leaves over his own wife, and Reuven's wife, who he had done Mimer to. Now Levi here, theoretically, biblically, could do Yibum to Reuven's wife and to Shimon's wife, because Reuven's wife, biblically, had no connection with Shimon, and Shimon's wife is Shimon's wife. Separate brothers. They're not related to each other. There's no reason Levi couldn't do Yibum to both. But rabbinically, she's a little bit Shimon's wife. So if he does Yibum to Shimon's wife and to Reuven's wife, in a certain sense, he's taking two of Shimon's wives, which we won't want him to do. Again, not biblically, because biblically he's not bound to Reuven's wife. Shimon had no connection to Reuven's wife. It's only rabbinic. But rabbinically, Shimon is partially, I'll use the word married, to Reuven's wife. Then when he dies now, he's leaving over his real wife and his rabbinically bound wife through Maimer. Now, what should Levi do? If he does Yibum to Reuven's wife, then he can't do Yibum to Shimon's wife because it would be like marrying two of Shimon's wives. Right, so therefore, we say that what he should do is, he should...
What's wrong with that?
You're not allowed to do Yibum to two wives, you're not allowed to do two Yibum to two wives of the same person. You can only do Yibum to one wife of the same person. But you can only do Yibum to one wife of the same person. Now, here the problem is, doing Yibum to one of them... It's like, you can't do Yibum to the first one because she's like partially Shimon's wife, partially Reuven's wife. And we don't want to do Yibum to a woman that's partially both. And so let's just see the Mishnah for a second. Hare'elu chotzois, v'loi misyabmois. These women should both get chalitza. Shenema. Because it says, umeis echad mehem, right? One of them dies. Meis echad mehem. One of them dies. Yavama yavi aleha. So we say, Misha aleha zikas yavim echad. Only a woman that has a bond to one husband. Veloi zikas shnei yavamim. This woman is now left being bound to Reuven, because she was Reuven's wife, and bound to Shimon, because Shimon did the rabbinic kedushin. And the, what happens is, so we have to look at it like this. The first wife can't have Yibum because she is related, so to speak, married to two husbands. Again, I want to make it clear. Biblically was married to Reuven. Rabbinically married to Shimon. So she's, for our purposes, partially Reuven's wife and partially Shimon's wife. Or totally Reuven's wife and partially Shimon's wife. And therefore there's no Yibum for her. So we don't allow Yibum to Shimon's wife either because she's a tzara. Because of the Maimer, she became a co-wife, so to speak, of a woman who can't have Yibum. So therefore, there's no Yibum for Reuven's wife and no Yibum for Shimon's wife. However, there's Chalitza, because really, biblically, there is no co-wife here. Biblically speaking, is somebody should mute themselves? Biblically speaking, she's only Reuven's wife. And the other one is, again, can somebody please mute themselves? Biblically speaking, one is, it's hard, again, I can't speak over the static. Biblically speaking, one is Reuven's wife, and one is Shimon's wife. But rabbinically speaking, one is Reuven and Shimon's wife. And the Torah doesn't want Yibum from a woman that comes from two houses. Therefore, there's no Yibum to her. And once there's no Yibum to her, there's no Yibum to Shimon's wife, who is a partial co-wife of Reuven's wife. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Shneamar, umeis echad mehem, yavama yavi aleha, mi shala zikas yavim echad, veloi zikas shnei yavamim. Uktoni aleha. And on that it says, Amar Rav Yosef, zuhi tzaras eishas ach me'av. Here is where you have a woman that's perfectly no erva. She's a brother's wife, paternal. She iser nefila garmla. The way she ended up falling caused an iser. Shloimetzinu b'chala tayrakula. Here is a non-erva that, because she fell the yibum, turns into like a nerva, which is not biblical. In biblical law, you never find this. In biblical law, you never find a woman that's a non-erva because she fell the yibum. Now turns into an erva. Because had this woman, right, she was not an erva, she was his brother's wife, there would have been a mitzvah yibum. But rabbinically, the way she follows the yibum has turned her into an erva, rabbinically. Which you don't find biblically. This is a hint in the Torah that the Torah doesn't want a person to do yibum that somebody is partially bound to both. Now you can't be partially bound to both biblically, because either Reuven's wife or Shimon's wife. But given the fact that she had Maimer, it created a situation where it looks like she's married to two women. at least rabbinically, she's married to two women. Therefore, the Torah doesn't want Yibum in a case when she has relationships with two husbands, so to speak. Now, in biblical law, you never find this. Here was a perfectly woman that was perfectly eligible for Yibum. The way she fell to Yibum, the circumstances of her falling to Yibum created her into an erva. That's something that you don't find anywhere. That's what he said. So, Metzinu B'chal HaTorah Kula K'Gonzais. We never find any case like that biblically, that her falling to Yibum creates an erva. Rashi. Zok Rashi. Let's read it inside. Maimer Kedusha Yavama. Har Elu Shtei Nashim Choltzais. They get Chalitza. The Ilu Kansa. Had Shimon consummated the relationship with Reuven's wife. Have a Pukazika Kamaisa. That would have removed the bond from Reuven. But Levi would now have no Zika at all, no bond to her through Ruve, because Shimon took it over, he married her. Then when Shimon died, both women would fall to Yibum from Shimon. Ruvain's relationship would have zero impact because Shimon took it over. But Maimer is rabbinic. Therefore, it doesn't remove the bond from Ruvain to Levi, from Ruvain's wife to Levi. The Havalok Tzas Zikas Rishon. She's partially bound to him from Ruvain. Uktzas Zikas Achron. And this rabbinic Kedushin created a rabbinic bond with Shimon. The Chsivu Meis Achad Mehem. But Loizu Shemesu Beis Baleha. Not this woman that lost two husbands, both husbands. Meaning, she's married like to two. The Zikish Ne'emalah. And she's bound to Levi, biblically from Reuven and rabbinically from Shimon. Ushtei Masuris Midrabonon. This is rabbinic answer. Ukras Mach de Ba'alma. It's not a drasha, because in the Torah there's no such case. In the Torah there's no such thing as Maimer. How could the Torah be talking about Maimer? It's a hint to the Rabbonon. Because the Mepharis prepared Daurach. Ubechalitza the Chadol and Miftri Yidach. You can't even give Chalitza to one to part to the other. Because biblically, the Lavi Beis Echad Kasu. Really, biblically, one's Reuven's wife and one's Shimon's wife. They have nothing to do with each other. Had he not done a Maimer Shimon, and then Shimon would have died. So let's say Reuven died without children, and then Shimon died without children. So have a law of Zika Sarishin. One woman would be bound from Reuven, and one woman would be bound from Shimon. For the Havel Ushtei Yavamas Habos Mi Beis Vatim, it would be two Yavamas who come from two separate houses, Ushtei Misyadlis. What happened is, by making Maimer, he created a rabbinic bond with this lady. Now when he dies, she is coming from two houses. She's coming from Reuven's house biblically, and from Shimon's house rabbinically, so we don't want Yibum in this case. And we don't want Yibum to the other woman because it's a tzara of her. It's a rabbinic co-wife. But we need chalitza to both of them. One to get rid of the biblical bond to Reuven, and one to get rid of the biblical bond to Shimon. She is to nefila garmla. She nafla beis bam hemezika achas. This woman ended up falling to Yibum two times. Once from Reuven biblically, and once from Shimon rabbinically. Shlomitzinu b'chala taira, she taster elamid rabbananu de mitzirin. We never found in the Torah such a case. It's only rabbinic. She'enkan iserva. There's no erva here. Still, the Rabbanan came along and said, Vasura tzarasa. Her tzara is aser. Now, so the lashon of Rabbi Yosef was, this is the case that you have a woman coming with no erva, but turns into an erva of Eishes Ach in the way she fell to Yibum. There was nothing wrong with her while she was married to her husband. She was Reuven's wife. There was no Isser Erva to Levi. He had nothing wrong with her. It wasn't like a future erva. It was a perfectly legal brother's wife where Yibum would apply. But the way she fell to Yibum through Shimon doing Maimer turns her into a rabbinic erva, which we never find in the Torah. Now, Zuhi Lemute Mai. What is Rabbi Yosef coming to say? This is the case. Mashma, there's another case that you would think applies as well. Right? You would think that there's another case where Yibum, falling the Yibum, can turn her into an erva, and he's saying, no, it doesn't. There is no other case. This is the only case, rabbinically, there is no biblical case. Now, I have a case that is biblical. Here is Reuven, married to an islandess and to another woman. She's perfectly legally married. She's not an erva to anybody. But because she follows the Yibum and the Torah says Asher Teled, and the Torah says that she's not eligible for Yibum, she turns into an Eches Ach because of the way she followed the Yibum, because she followed the Yibum, and therefore Asher's her Tzara. So I have a biblical case of a woman that's nothing wrong with her as far as Erva is concerned, and because she follows the Yibum, turns into an Erva. So why is Rav Yaitza saying this is the case and there are no biblical cases? There is a biblical case, Eilonus, where the woman is not an Erva, but because she follows the Yibum and the Torah said Asher Teled, removes her, becomes an Erva of Eishes Ach, and Asher's her Tzara. And that's biblical. So Zuhi, Lemute my love, Zuhi Lemute my, what is he coming to exclude? My love, Lemute Tzaris Eilonus Desharya. He's coming to tell me that Eilonus would not be a good case, because Eilonus would not infect her Tzara. Not like Ravasi, who said that the Tzara gets infected by Eilonus. No, she wouldn't, because there's nothing inherently wrong. She's not an Erva. It's an exclusion of Asher Teled, which says she can't have Yibum Chalitza. But she's not an Erva to make her Tzara into a Tzara's Erva. So it's a question on Ravasi from the fact that it says Zuhi. Something Gemara loy, the Mute Tzaris Island of Dasira. No. No, it's coming Adarabba to say that this is the case where there's no Yibum but Chalitza. Tzaris Islanders wouldn't even have Chalitza. We're not saying this is the only case where the way she falls bans her from Yibum. There is another case, Eilonus. But Eilonus is different, because Eilonus is biblical. And since it's biblical, she infects her Tzara, that there's no Yibum or Chalitza. The case of the Maimer only removed Yibum. That's what Rav Yaitza meant to say. Zui the Yisra Nefila Garmla Tzarasa by Chalitza. This case, where the way she fell turned her into a rabbinic erva, so therefore she is... she needs Chalitza and her Tzara needs Chalitza. Whereas Eilonus is biblical, and she does infect her Tzara, Afilu Chalitza Legoi. My Taima? Why? Hadaraisa Hadarabonim. Because one's biblical and one's rabbinic. So basically, the Gemara thought that Zuhi was saying, this is the case where they can have an Erva of some sort that develops because of Yibum. And the other case would be Eilonus, who's a perfectly legal wife. Nothing wrong with her to any brother-in-law at all, no Erva. But the fact that she fell the Yibum turns her into an Erva, and you see Zuhi, that means she doesn't turn into an Erva to infect her Tzara. And the answer is just the opposite. This is a case where it's rabbinic and only Yibum is prohibited, but Chalitz is allowed. The case of Eilonus, it turns into an Erva that we don't even have Chalitza. So again, that's if you learn like Ravasi, that Tzaras Eilonus becomes a Tzaras Erva, because since this woman, the Torah said Asher Teled, the Torah removed her from Yibum, turns her into an Erva, and therefore her Tzara is a Tzaras Erva. Rashi. Somebody had a question? Rashi.
Rabbi, I had a question, but it's more of a general question. If Levi's two older brothers had both died in succession without children,
right?
Nobody did Yibum, nobody did Maimer to indicate a signal that they were going to do something. What are Levi's obligations now regarding the two sister-in-laws he has from both older brothers that have passed away childless? Does he have an obligation to go to the oldest, to do any of them? What does he do here?
He can pick both. He can marry both, do chalitza to both, do yibum to one and chalitza to the other. They're two separate issues.
So he has an obligation to each brother's wife that falls his way, to each of them. Doing, for example, chalitza to Reuven's wife doesn't do anything with him vis-a-vis Shimon's wife.
Right,
he
correct.
He has all these obligations with as many...
Correct.
And the pasuk seems to indicate that, and I apologize, you probably answered this a million times, the pasuk seems to indicate that the obligation of Yibum goes to the Bechor.
To the oldest, Bechor, the Gemara is going to say, means the oldest existing brother.
Right, so why do we say that any of the brothers can jump up and do it?
That's going to be, I haven't answered that, and that's going to be a discussion of the Gemara coming up in about 5, 6 in 10 blot or whatever it is, coming up in the second parak. Yes.
I thought you said that you can't do yibum to women; you can only do it to one.
I can't hear you.
I mentioned you can't do yibum to two women; you can only do it to one.
One wife of this. You can't do yibum to two women of the same husband, but if two brothers die, then he can do yibum to each one's wife if he wants to. He doesn't have to. He can do chalitza to both, right? Or yibum on one, chalitza to the other. It's his preference.
They say if there's a co-wife, he can't do yibum to her.
He can't do yibum to both wives of one brother. Correct.
Okay.
And that's what Mimer created. It made her a partial co-wife to Shimon's wife. Without Mimer, had he died and then nothing had happened, it would be Reuven's wife and Shimon's wife, two separate entities. By Shimon doing Mimer, he brought this woman into his household, so to speak, and now it's a rabbinic co-wife, which creates the issue. So to Gemara by Tanan. Three lines in the bottom. Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah. If a person's married to an Erva, the Kulam and Mesu, the Erva died before the husband died. So let's say Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter, but Shimon's daughter predeceased Reuven. So by the time Reuven died, Shimon's daughter was not married to Reuven. Or a Mionu. Or Shimon's daughter had done Mion before Reuven died. Or Shimon's daughter had been divorced before Reuven died. All three cases, by the time Reuven died, there was no longer a marriage between Reuven and the Erva. Or Reuven Shimon's daughter was found to be an islandess. So Tzareseyem Mutaris. Now listen to what happened here. We're having over here a case where Reuven's married to Shimon's daughter, and we find Shimon's daughter to be an islandess. And it says that Shimon still has a mitzvah to the co-wife. Now, according to Rav Asi, there's no mitzvah. She's an islandess. She infects her tzara. And this is saying even more. Even if the woman is Shimon's daughter, but if she's found to be an islandess, she doesn't infect her tzara, even though she's an erva. If anything, this is the exact opposite of Rav Asi. It's saying if one of the wives are a islandess, not only doesn't she infect her tzara if she's not an erva, even if she's Shimon's daughter, but the fact that she's an islandess keeps her from infecting her tzara. So isn't that the exact, if anything, proves Rav Asi wrong plus? It proves Rav Asi wrong because it's saying an islandess does not infect the tzara. And this is even if the woman is an erva, she doesn't infect her tzara if she's an islandess, which is the exact opposite of Rav Asi. And for the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Kansha Hikurba, Kansha Loi Hikurba. The Mishnah is talking about Reuven did not know Shimon's daughter was an islandess. Therefore, the marriage is a non-marriage. When we find Shimon's daughter to be an islandess, that means Reuven was never married to her. It was a mekach tos. A regular husband doesn't want to marry an islandess. Therefore, the tzara is not a tzara serva, because Shimon's daughter was never married to Reuven. We thought she was married to Reuven, but we found her to be an islandess. And the minute we found her to be an islandess, that retroactively invalidates Reuven's marriage to her. That's the case of the Mishnah. Rav Asi's case is, he knew she was an islandess, he accepted the fact that he was an islandess, he didn't mind being married to an islandess. Then she's Reuven's wife. The case of the Mishnah is Kan Shelo Hikurba. He never knew. If Reuven never knew, so now that we find out, she's not married to Reuven. She never married with Reuven. So she's not a Tzara Serva. It has no connection to the case of Rav Asi. Because Rav Asi's case is, he knew she was an islandess, and he wanted to marry her anyway. Rashi, Kansha Hikurba, Rav Asi b'she Hikurba k'shenasa. He knew she islandess. Ain't got mekach tos. There's no mistake. Vary Yishtai, it's his wife. The Tzara's have the Tzara's islandess. V'rachmana patrim asher teled. According to Rav Asi, the Tzara said asher teled turns her into an erva and her Tzara into a Tzara serva. Masnisish v'shlo Hikurba k'shenasa. The Mishnah is talking about he didn't know. Shetei islandess. Mekach tos. That means Reuven was never married to her. V'lav Yishtai. Lefichach Tzaras and Muteris, the lab Tzaras Islandessy. She's not the Tzara of an Islandess, because the Islandess was never married to Reuven. Daikinami. I can even prove it to you. Ketani Shenimtsu. Notice the Mishnah says Shenimtsu Islandess. We found her to be an Islandess. In Ravasi's case, we didn't find her, we knew it. Like Tanu Shahayu doesn't say she was an islandess, it says we found her, which is mashma, something Reuven did not know at the time of the marriage. Shmami na, that the Mishnah is talking in the case where the husband did not know it. Rashi Shinimtu Lachanasuan found Achanasuan. So in this last blot, we discussed four women. We discussed Saita, Magzugur Shasai, Mema'enes, and Islandess. Four separate women who are not Ervas, but have an effect on some cases Yibum and Chalitza, and some cases only Yibum, the Mashal. We had the case of Tzara Saita, according to Rav, a woman that was Mizana, and then her husband dies, right? There's no Yibum or Chalitza, not to her, not to her Tzara, because the Torah said the word Tumah. We didn't have anybody arguing Rav, but that was Rav's halacha. We had the case of Islandess, where again, nothing wrong, she was a perfectly legal marriage, but she's an islandess, the Torah said Asher Teled, there's no mitzvah Yibum, nor Chalitza, and therefore no mitzvah Yibum Chalitza to her Tzara, because she's a Tzara's Erva. Then we have two cases, where we have Chalitza, but we don't have Yibum. One is Machzik Rushasai, we talked about, it was a question, but we talked about whether a person can do Yibum to, if his brother took back his divorcee, right, and had another wife, do we allow the Tzara to have Yibum or not? We talked about it. We made it dependent on, we weren't sure what Rabbanan would say, what Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur would say. We went through that issue. And then we had Tzara's Meba'enes, where Shmuel said there's a whole Gzera that any girl whose husband dies, and she's a ketana and walks out of the marriage, not only do we allow Yibum to her, we don't allow Yibum to her Tzara rabbinically, but they need Chalitza. So we had two cases where there was no Yibum nor Chalitza, and two cases where there was no Yibum but there was Chalitza. I'm a Rabba. So Rabba now says, Hilkasa Tzara's island is Muteris. Rabba says that Tzara's island is Muter. Even though the Torah said Asher Teled, even though the Torah said Asher Teled, still, the Tzara is not infected. Because we say there is no mitzvah. The Torah said, no mitzvah of Yibum for this wife. It's like the Torah took away the mitzvah of Yibum. Let me try to explain this. What Rav is saying is the following. He's saying as follows. Let's say Reuven dies, and Shimon's daughter had been married to Reuven. There's a mitzvah of Yibum. It comes into conflict with the Isser Erva. So the Torah says, we learn out, no Yibum, no Chalitza. But there was a mitzvah of Yibum, or Chalitza, but the Torah came and said, sorry, it's Karis, we're not letting it. And therefore the Erva prevails, and we learn out that she infects her Tzara as well. By Islandess, it's not that the Torah said, sorry, you can't do Yibum because. It's the Torah said, she's not eligible for Yibum. It's different. A daughter, theoretically, would have been eligible for Yibum. It's the Karis that sets in that blocks the Yibum. Really, there should be a mitzvah of Yibum. It comes into conflict with the Karis. So the Torah taught me that the Karis prevails and we can't do Yibum. But really, it was a conflict. There was a mitzvah of Yibum going up against the Nisr Karis. The Torah said the Karis prevails. Therefore, we can't do Yibum. Comes along the Torah and says, that infects the Tzara. You have two women following the Yibum. One hits a brick wall named Erva. Therefore, no mitzvah of Yibum on the Tzara as well. By Islandess, Rava says, it's not that you have two women that follow the Yibum and one hits a brick wall. One never had a mitzvah of Yibum. The Torah didn't have a mitzvah of Yibum by an islandess. It's not, there's a mitzvah of Yibum, but it comes into conflict with islandess. The Torah removed Eilanus from Yibum. So when it comes to Yibum, Eilanus is not considered a wife. It's as if she doesn't exist. Therefore, she doesn't infect the Tzara. Because it's not that there was Yibum that hit a brick wall. When you hit a brick wall called Erva, then the Erva can't have Yibum because of Karis, and the Torah revealed to me that she infects her Tzara. But when one of the wives has no mitzvah of Yibum, so she's like out of the picture. She's not a mitzvah of Yibum that can't be kept. It's that there's no mitzvah of Yibum. The Torah revealed to me, on Eilanus there's no mitzvah of Yibum. So remove her from the picture. She's as if she doesn't exist. Therefore, the brother can do Yibum to the other woman. Why not? It's his brother's wife. And she's not a Tzaras Erva, because the Eilanus was not in the picture. Zokdrava, Hilchasa, Tzaras Eilanus Muteres, Vafilu Hikarba. Even if the husband knew she was an islandess, and there's no mekach tas, but the Torah took away the mitzvah from her. It's not a mitzvah going up against something, and the Torah says that the mitzvah loses out. That would be erva. That would be usher to do yibum, and it affects the tzara. Here, the Torah removed her from the parsha. As far as Shimon is concerned, Reuven's islandess wife doesn't exist. The Torah removed her from Shimon's parsha, from Shimon's, what word am I looking for? From Shimon's obligations. There is no obligation. It's not that he has an obligation to her that he can't keep. There is no obligation. The Torah removed it out of the whatever the word I'm looking for is. Vafilit Tzaras Bitoy Eilanus. And here, Rava says a bigger chiddush. Reuven's married to Shimon's daughter, and he knows she's an Eilanus. And now Reuven dies, and Shimon has to do Yibum. And one of them is his daughter. The answer is his daughter is not in the parsha here. It's not that he's going up against the Erev of his daughter. His daughter's an islandess. She was removed. She's not considered here. As far as she's concerned, as far as Shimon's concerned, his daughter is not in the parsha. Therefore, Reuven only has one wife as far as he's concerned, and he can do Yibum or Chalitza. So now Rava is the exact opposite of Ravasi. Not only does Rava say that the Tzaras Eilanus doesn't get infected in a regular Eilanus, but even if the Eilanus is an Erva, and therefore you would say it's no different than every other Tzaras Erva. It is different. Because the Eilanus never came to Yibum. Tzaras Erva is when they both arrive by Yibum. One is an Erva, so the mitzvah hits a brick wall. There is no mitzvah that hits a brick wall by an Eilanus. There is no mitzvah. The mitzvah is only to the other wife. Therefore, we don't consider the Eilanus as part of the discussion here. She's out. The Torah removed her. Therefore, it's not a Tzaras Erva as far as Yibum is concerned. Zokrashi. Hilchas Tzaras Eilanus Muteres. The Ava gav the Hikar ba'achiv, even though the brother knew, the Kaima, the Hava Ishtai, and she is alive, and he knew when he was alive, and it's his wife. Le'mitzvah tzarasim shim tzaras habas. Dechiyah serachman et tzaras ervas, le'mokim mitzvah da'asra. When there's a mitzvah of Yibum that comes into conflict with erva. V'ha'ak, even the island is see. The belav erva namilichazi le'yibum. The erva has no impact here. There's no mitzvah of Yibum. Have a tzaras et tzaras erva shle'mokim mitzvah. This becomes like she's a tzaras erva without Yibum, because the daughter is not eligible for Yibum. The kach mefurish b'halachas gedailus. This is the way the sefer halachas gedailus explains this Gemara. Frakt the Gemara, v'ha'adik tani shenim tzu. I, the Mishnah says, were found, that indicates that if he knew, it wouldn't be Yibum. Tana shahayu. You can change the gears of the Mishnah, meaning it could even say shahayu. It doesn't make a difference. Meaning, it makes no difference if she found out afterwards that she's an islandess, or knew all along she was an islandess. There is no tzaras erva, because the erva never fell to Yibum. The Torah took her out from the parsha of Yibum. Something to my right. Kiyasa Rabban, I'm a Rabbi Yechanan. He's a Saris, meaning she marries a husband and is a Saris. Can we say Mekach Tos because she would never want to marry a Saris. I'm sure it's a Beferish Halacha. I don't know it. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know. Good question. I don't know. Thought the Gemara Vayta Kiyasa Rabban Amar Rabbi Yechanan. When Rabban came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Achas Taurus Mamanis, the Achas Taurus Islandis, the Achas Taurus Magzigurushasoi. Three of the four women we discussed. Mamanis, her husband died, she was a Ktana, and she did Miyun to one of the ovens. Right? Or Magzigurushasoi. Her husband took back his Grusha, and she's the other wife. Or Islandis. Kulon Bataris. Rabban Paskins, they all were mutter for Yibum. It means he disagrees with the Magzig Rishasi question. He says clearly it's mutter. We had a Bryson that said it's mutter, so he's not, you know, he has support. He disagrees with Shmuel Bamamanis. He says there was no such Gzeira, which we talked about yesterday. And he disagrees with Ravasi with Islandis. He Paskins like Rabban. He says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, like Rabban would say later on, because Rabbi Yechanan preceded Rabban, that a Tzaras Islandis is mutter. Rashi, Tzaras, Mamanas, Biyava, Magzik, Rushasim, Shanistis, after she got married. End of the sugya of these four women. Now we move on to a totally different sugya. Now, the next sugya is halachically very negaya, except that I am not going to get involved in halacha lemaisa. I will point out the different shatim, and I will leave it alone and not discuss the halacha lemaisa. Tana Rabibi Kamedra of Nachman. Rabibi learned the following brisa. Now I'm going to learn it like Rashi. I'm going to learn it like Rashi, and then we will discuss that there are other opinions as well. Shalosh nashim mishamshes b'meich. Rashi says three women are allowed to have relationships with their husband with a meich. Rashi learns putting something into her body that prevents pregnancy. I think the term we would use now is a diaphragm. A woman puts something into her body that prevents pregnancy. Three women are allowed to use it. Only three women are allowed to use it. Other women are not supposed to use it. That's what the Braisa says. Who is allowed to use it? Ktana, a girl that's under bas mitzvah. The Gemara is going to explain she's 11. So she is in an age where she could conceive, but it would be fatal for her, or possibly fatal for her. So therefore, we don't want her getting conceiving because it's dangerous. So we allow her to use a meich. And Muberes, she's pregnant already. Now in those days, and I don't know how it manifests today, a woman could get pregnant a second time when she was pregnant once, and the second one would kill deform is the right word, the first one. And we don't want that to happen. So we allow her to prevent a second pregnancy. I don't think, Bisman Azeh, it is possible for a woman to become pregnant the second time. And Menika, a woman that's nursing. In those days, it was before Similac and Enfamil. They didn't have formula. A woman nursed, kept her baby alive. And if she were to get pregnant, it would ruin her milk supply. And the baby might die. And therefore it becomes dangerous. So we allow her to prevent pregnancy. And the Braisa explains, Ktana, Shemitis Aber v'Shemitamus. Ktana is because she might become pregnant, and it might be fatal. Muberes, a pregnant woman, Shemitasa Ubrasando. She might have caused a deformity, if that's the right word, in her Uber. Sandal means it becomes like a sandal, loses its facial features. The second baby pushes the first baby and causes the facial features to flatten out. And Menika, Shematigmo Bana, she might have to stop nursing the Yamas. And the Braisa explains, Ve'ezi Ktana, what age Ktana are we talking about? Nibas Yud Alev Shana V'yemechar Adyud Be'y Shana V'yemechar. From the day she turns 11, which is at the end of 11 years, to the end of 12 years, when she becomes a G'dayla. Pachas Mikan, V'yeser Akan, M'shameshes Kedarka V'elechas. Under 11, there's no fear of pregnancy. And over 12, there's no danger of pregnancy. Therefore, it's only that year that we're concerned about, Divrei Remeir. That means even though we find in history that there were women that gave birth earlier, there are so few and far between that it's not something that has to be taken into account. However, between 11 and 12, it is possible, and it is very dangerous. And therefore, Remeir says, she does preventive, she takes preventive action, she's allowed to take preventive action to prevent a pregnancy. The Chachamim Aymrim, Achazu v'achazu m'shameshes k'darki v'lechas. The Chacham said, she has nothing to be worried about. Because, m'nashamayim yirachmu, m'shem shenem reshayim repsoim Hashem. And this is a very big rule in halacha. And that is, if the world doesn't worry about it, then we don't have to worry about it either. If the regular world has relationships with 11-year-old girls without taking preventive action, that means even though it is possible the Remeir is right, but there's a concept called Shem Ripsoim Hashem. Hashem guards fools. Meaning, if this is the way the world behaves, then we don't have to be more worried than the regular person is. Remeir seems to say, hello, why don't you take preventive action to prevent these things? And the Rabbanan seems to say, nobody else is taking this preventive action, so we're not going to allow it for a woman. Because most of the people are not taking this preventive action. So therefore we rely on the concept called Shem Ripsoim Hashem. Now when you learn this Gemara, simply put, and I'm not poskening, it seems to say that a means of birth control that blocks the Zera from entering through a physical barrier is not permitted only in certain circumstances. According to a mayor, according to the Chachamim, is not permitted. We're not paskening halacha l'maisa. It's a major machlokes. I'm not going to get involved in that. That would be that form of birth control, where there's a physical barrier placed between to box pregnancy. Rashi. Zok Rashi. Mishameshes b'maych. Muteres latis maych b'makom tashmish. She can put a maych in the place of Tashmish, when they have a relationship, they shouldn't become pregnant. Sandu vlachela turas panim, a baby that doesn't have facial features. The kamelam sechtes nida ain sandu shenim of vlad. If you find a baby without facial features, that means there had been a second pregnancy that did this. To the baby, mashal adam shesatras chaveira, a person slapped his friend, the heads of tzurasel achayrev, he turned them backwards, meaning he just made his face fly around, so to speak. Shemubaris, v'chazaris, v'mizaberis, daichu ke'echad es chaveira, one pushes his friend, upaychas tzurasai, and causes a breakdown of his facial features. Shemu tigmos bina, im tesaber, teitzricha ligmos bina melohanik. If she becomes pregnant, she'll have to stop nursing. Means separate from her son. What is the age of Ktana Horuya Lis? At what point is she eligible to get pregnant, capable of getting pregnant? And it's dangerous. Because Pachas Vidal of Adelitisaber, under 11, it's definitely not going to get pregnant. And the Bishanim speak out is very, so highly unlikely that we don't worry about it. And v'yosim yudbeisim tesaber leitomos, when she's 12, it becomes safe. This is Rashi's pshat. There are problems with Rashi's pshat. Manavshech, if it is aser for a regular woman, so then why would it be mutter for these three women? Don't have a relationship and you won't need it. Right? It's not like we have to save a life here. We only have to save a life because she's having a relationship with her husband. So if it's aser, why are we permitting it? Because of these circumstances. Because Rashi says muteris. Right? Other Rishonim want to learn chayavais. These three women are obligated to do it. Everyone else is allowed to do it. But that's not what Rashi says. We're learning Gemara and Rashi. I'm just pointing out the Rishonim's difficulty. Taisus learns that this maich is after the relationship. Taisus learns that it is usher to have any barrier during the relationship. Taisus learns the question is, can she, after the relationship, take out her husband's zera to prevent pregnancy? So Taisus learns, only in these three cases will be permitted, but in a regular case we wouldn't want to permit it, and again, that gets complicated, why yes, why not? I don't want to get involved in the intricacies of the halacha, but this is the basis of whether certain kinds of birth control are permitted or not permitted, is this in this Gemara, with the way the Rishonim and Achronim describe it. Okay. So what we've done is, we've learned this Braisa, which will impact our Gemara about understanding our Mishnah. which we will mention, Shem Diskin, you're discussing tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day.